Good evening, folks. QFD, this is Marty, WV5Y. It's once again time for another edition of the Houston AmSatNet. This net meets on Tuesdays to discuss topics related to satellites, balloons, and other amateur-related items. This is net number 1600. Ooh, it's been a while. And it's 8 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday, February the 25th, 2025, which in UTC time is Wednesday, February the 26th, 2025 at 0200. This is a directed net, and all calls should go through net control, and this net is dedicated to Andy McAllister, W5ACM. And thanks to Joe, W5BSA, we're on the 145.19 repeater in West Houston, and the PL tone is 123.0, and I will now take local check-ins.
This is
Whiskey Juliet 9 Oscar David near Cypress.
Yes. Whiskey 5 Bravo Sierra Alpha. Whiskey Bravo Sierra Alpha. Joe here in West Houston. And Marty, I have a couple announcements when you have time to work it in.
Whiskey Delta 5, Juliet Romeo Delta, WD5, JRD, Carl, Jersey Village.
Okay, very good. We got Joe, and we've got Carl, and let's see, we had a station there at the very beginning that doubled just a little bit. Can you come back with your call and name one more time, please?
This is WJ90, Whiskey, Juliet, 9 Oscar, David, near Cypress.
All right, very good. WJ90, David, up there near Cypress. We got you down. Thanks for checking in. And because we got W5BSA, Joe, our illustrious repeater trustee, and he's got a couple announcements, and one may be regarding the Greater Houston Ham Fest, which is coming up not this weekend, but the following one, March 7th and 8th, so hopefully we'll see a lot of folks down there, and so then we got Carl, WD5JRD, see anybody else out there?
This is Kilo India Zero Delta Echo, Kilo India Zero Delta Echo, Mike and Katie, my first time checking in.
All right, very good, Mike. We're glad to have you aboard. Welcome. KI Zero Delta Echo. Mike out there and Katie, welcome, and welcome to net number 1600. Okay, we're going to start with a little bit of information from the South Texas Balloon Launch Team. We did get a little bit of an update from Walter, and that's we got a surprising communication, a ping location from BLT 139, which is a few days that will have been up for 2 months. So it might be a record there. And we know it had made it three times around the world. So we didn't hear from it for about a week or so, maybe a little longer. So we're saying it's probably about on its fourth trek around the world. And that may be a new record. It's been beaconing on Whisper occasionally when it makes it in, and it's in good sunlight and manages to transmit, but it has not really been making it into the APRS, into the APRS.FI reflector, so you couldn't really look where it is on APRS too well this time, but maybe a record. We're just about 2 months up in the air, and we've calculated it's on its fourth trip around the world. So congratulations. It pinged on Sunday morning, and it was just about over Africa there. So congratulations to Walter and to John, AB5SS, for a balloon launch that's been progressing very well. And, of course, there will probably be some more coming up in the Greater Houston Ham Fest, and so we'll look forward to tracking those as well. If you're interested in balloons or would like to become interested in balloons and tracking balloons with ham radio equipment aboard, you can participate in the monthly NET meeting that takes place, thanks to Walter, K5WH, and they usually have that at a local restaurant here at 4:30 p.m. And then at 8 p.m. Central Time, they have a meeting on Zoom, and you can participate or listen in or just be obnoxious and let us know you're out there. And that's just by going over to k5wh.net/Zoom. And you can find out the goings-on for the South Texas Balloon Launch Team. Okay, at this time, we're going to let Joe jump in here and give his announcements. So go ahead, Joe, W5BSA, WV5Y, and the Houston AmSatNet.
Hey, good evening, Marty and the Net. How exciting. I've got kind of goosebumps, what I'm getting ready to say. And boy, does this go along with Net number 1600. Wow, that's all I can say is wow. So here, I got some really good news. Something that Bill, K5LK, Bill Brown, KB5IIZ, and myself have been working on, really going on for 3 years. So it all plays in with a little bit of history. I think it's so ironic that this is net number 1600. I may be a little bit long-winded, but I want everybody to hear what I'm getting ready to tell you. So part of the ironic process, so I'm going to go ahead and share this first. Right now, it's monitor only for right now. But the 442.500, the 442.500 repeater that's out in Katy, up to 350 feet, is now on All-Star. And so what that has allowed us to do starting this evening is using the AMSAT conference room. If anybody can reach over to 442.500 out in Katy, you're going to be able to, starting tonight, monitor the AMSAT net here on Tuesday night, and it's going to be happening every week. So if you go over there right now, you can hear everything I'm saying, everything Marty's saying, and it's also an All-Star link. So you may want to grab your pencil and paper, and then I'll try to figure out how to get it out in an email to everybody. Let me let it drop.
BL-123.
So if you have an All-Star node, like a Shari or something like that, then if you connect to our hub, which is the KD repeater and a whole bunch of other stuff, it's really cool, that's 572-580. So if you connect to All-Star node 572-580, you can hear what's going on, monitor only for tonight, what's going on the AMSAT net right now. So again, what monitor only means you can listen, but if you wanted to like kick into the net, then you'd have, for right now, you'd have to come back to 145.19 to talk to Marty. Okay. Also, that our hub, our All-Star hub, is connected on Echolink. So if you want to listen, on the Echolink that's tied into the hub there, then you just open up your Echolink application and look for W5BSA-L, W5BSA-L,
and that'll get you into the All-Star 572-580 hub. Just a little bit more, Marty, and I'll hand it back to you. So again, here in the near future, we're hoping to have it transceive. So in other words, when Marty runs the net on 145.19, hopefully here in the near future, you'll also be able to transceive. You'll be able to log in from 442.5. And then here's the big announcement. We're just a couple of weeks away from having just a fantastic repeater downtown Houston at 850 feet. In fact, we're going to have two of them. And they're going to be on All-Star, so our goal is to have a West Side repeater group that they won't be linked all the time, but for things like this net, where people that really want to participate and not only check in and listen, but log in and be able to tell us what you're up to in the world of amateur satellites, you'll be able to do so from just about anywhere, probably, I want to say, in a 75-mile radius. Really excited about that. So I'm going to leave it there for tonight, and then it's going to be, I don't want to steal your thunder, Marty, but I just want to share this real quick with what Walter told me today when I was talking to him. Anyway, the HAMCOM this year is special for two reasons. Number one, it's the ARRL State Convention. And number two, Walter shared with me, they're going to have a full-blown satellite set up out there like never before. It's not going to be like maybe contacting one satellite. They're going to have the top of the line. I think he told me it's a 9700. That's an ICOM, I think. ICOM 9700 with the top of the line rotator and antennas, and should be able to hit just about every satellite possibility that comes by. So come on out to HAMCOM, come back to the back table and get to know all the BLT guys. And then the last thing that kind of gives me goosebumps is, and I'll turn it back to you, Marty, I promise. So the 442.5 repeater and the new one that's going on downtown, the VHF, that's going to be on 146.7, be sending out plenty of information. But here's the ironic part. AMSAT net number 1600, that's the original founding of the balloon launch team. Andy, Tom, Mike, I can go on for about 10 more names that are silent keys. And so how ironic that the AMSAT net lives on and is going to be bigger than ever on the 146.7 TWT mic and the BLT. We got to keep going, guys. We got to keep going. So anyway, hope everybody's excited as I am. Back to you, Marty, W5BSA.
Okay, very good. Thanks, Joe. Good updates there. We got the All-Star node number 572580. So we'll look forward to that. I know that Craig, K1BDX, who helped us first get connected through a landline. We were connected up through the Minneapolis area, and So he's big into All-Star, so maybe we'll start hearing from Craig again. That would be great. And so we appreciate those updates and good information on the 146.7 downtown repeater. That I know that 146.7 was one of the big repeaters that the South Texas Blue Launch Team group and Andy and Mike, WA5TWT, and all those guys had before, so it's good that they're back on that frequency again. All right, and Big Station, sounds like there's going to be a big satellite showing there at the Greater Houston Ham Fest. I know they had their HF station set up last year, and with the trailer and the BVARC beam and all that set up. So probably have that again. So glad to see that the radio equipment out there at the convention is just expanding. So it was like being able to play with more stuff and introduce people to stuff that they're not seeing all the time. So, well, that's good news. We appreciate that, Joe. Thank you very much. W5BSA, WV5Y, and the Houston AmSatNet. Okay, we want to remind everybody, if you'd like to call and check into the Houston AmSatNet, you can do so with a quick phone check-in to 713-467-9870. You can send an APRS message, that's to West Virginia 5 Yankee, with no dashes and no numbers, as Andy used to like to say. It's been a while since we've gotten an APRS check-in. And there's always email, and that's to wv5y@comcast.net. And then about half past the hour here, we'll take a quick standby and see who we've got, if we have any more local check-ins. And we'll also be looking around, seeing who we've got checking in via some of our other means here. Well, it looks like we're about to that point. We're a quarter past the hour here, so we'll take a quick check-in, quick standby, and see who we've got checking in via some of our alternate means. Let's see. We did hear from Charlie, K5ENG, and that was off the landline, and sounds like Charlie's doing good, so we appreciate that check-in there. See, we've got Dale, WD0AKO, he's up there in Moorhead, Minnesota. He does the backup archiving of the audio for the website, and we appreciate that from Dale. It's up there in the cold country. We did hear from Kai, N6ZZO. He's up there in McKinleyville, California. He's a podcast listener, one of them, and he calls and checks in on Wednesdays. So we appreciate that. And if you miss any details and or just want to hear our net again on the top band on the Saturday on 160 meters, we've got Vern, WA0RCR, out there in Wentzville, Missouri, and he's been doing that for us for many years, transmitting our net on 1.860 megahertz, full carrier AM, as he likes to say. And that's at 5:30 and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays. So we appreciate Vern putting us on the top band. And then let's see from APRS. Let's see, we'll check real quick. Okay, we don't have any APRS check-ins. From the Internet Relay Chat System, we've got Ken, AK0A, Clay, KG4OZW, 1600, yay! Yes, be glad to be doing that, 1600. We've got KG4WIJ, Brian, NZ9T, Renee, and K8WX, Bob.
BL123.
Okay, we do have Walter who made a comment. He's about the great, Greater Houston Ham Fest here. He says there will be lots of balloons to be launched from the Ham Fest on both days, on Friday and Saturday. So we'll be looking forward to that. Let's see, we've got Andrew, KC5LWY. He's down there in Galveston, and I hope he's dealing with the fog out there. Hopefully it's not going to be too bad. We've got Steve, KA5YFC, Bob, K9OIM, hello to Mitch, AD0HJ, and he's out there in Jackson, Minnesota. And thanks to Mitch, you can participate in the Wednesday night AmSatNet. That takes place on DMR. And that's on the digital talk group of DMR 98006. or YSF Fusion 11689. And I think it's also on D-Star and a couple other places. But it takes place at 9 p.m. Central Time on Wednesdays. So we appreciate Mitch putting that net on DMR. Okay, we've got Indoff. Good evening to him, N6UTC. And he's out there in Long Beach, California. And we got Bruce, KK5DO. He's up there in Roman Forest, north of Houston. He's made tonight's URLs available, so if you want to follow along with any of the topics we discuss or the articles we go over, you can just go over to amsatnet.com and click on the link he's got, and you can follow along that way if you'd like. We've got Dale, WD0AKO, online. And also, Walter, K5WH, and of course, we look forward to seeing him at the Greater Houston Ham Fest, and we want to say congratulations there again on BLT-139 for its just like 2-3 days shy of being up there for 2 months. So for a little balloon cranking around the world, that's pretty amazing. We've got AG9P Damien. He's in Oconto, Wisconsin. Good evening to him. And then we've got Stira, W5BSA. Okay, that must be the connection there to the repeater and put on by Joe. So we'll just get used to seeing that one around. So appreciate that new connection there, Joe. Okay, and Walter says the balloon action should start at 1 o'clock on Friday. Of course, on Friday, the South Texas, or the Greater Houston Ham Fest starts at noon. So they'll be starting up then, and see 9 o'clock on Saturday, and then several more balloons on each day. So we'll be looking forward to that. All right, we're finally getting over to the AMSAT News Service Bulletins. The AMSAT News Service Bulletins are a free weekly news and information service of AMSAT, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. ANS publishes news related to amateur radio in space, including reports on activities of a worldwide group of amateur radio operators who share an active interest in designing, building, launching, and communicating through analog and digital amateur radio satellites. And the news feed on www.amsat.org publishes news of amateur radio in space as soon as our volunteers can post it. So if you have any amateur satellite news or reports, just please send them to ans-editor@amsat.org. And you can sign up for a free email delivery of the AMSAT News Service Bulletins via the ANS list. To join the list, you go to mailman.amsat.org/Pastorius/lists/ans.amsat.org. Okay, item number one is the Hades R FM repeater has been activated and designated as Spain Oscar 124 or SO-124. And of course that comes from AMSAT EA. Okay, AMSAT EA in Spain has confirmed that the FM repeater aboard the Hades R satellite has been successfully activated, is now available for amateur radio operators worldwide. The activation took place on February 19th, 2025, following a series of telemetry and command tests to ensure the satellite's stability and performance. Early reports indicate that the repeater is functioning as expected, providing strong two-way FM voice communications. AMSAT EA expressed its gratitude to the amateur radio community for submitting telemetry reports, which contributed to the successful commissioning of the satellite. 80s-R was launched aboard a Falcon 9 rocket from Vandenberg Space Force Base in California. That was on January the 14th, 2025, as part of SpaceX's Transporter 12 mission. Developed by AMSAT EA, the satellite carries an FM and digital repeater payload designed to provide communication services to amateur radio enthusiasts worldwide. It was deployed from the D-Orbit Ion SCV-016 Orbital Transfer Vehicle on January the 22nd and has since been transmitting telemetry data while undergoing operational testing. With the repeater now active, operators can use the uplink frequency of 145.925 MHz and the downlink frequency on 436.885 MHz for communication, with additional support for digital modes such as APRS and FSK telemetry at various data rates. At the request of AMSAT EA, AMSAT has officially designated Hades R as Spain Oscar 124 or SO-124 in recognition of its contributions to amateur satellite communications. This designation underscores the satellite's role in expanding access to space-based communications to the amateur radio community. AMSAT congratulates AMSAT EA on this achievement and looks forward to the continued success of this and future projects. Meanwhile, amateur radio operators eagerly anticipate the upcoming launch of Hades ICM on the Transporter 13 mission in March of 2025, which will further enhance satellite-based communication capabilities. And we want to thank AMSAT EA and Drew Glassbrenner, KO4MA, AMSAT VP of Operations, and Oscar Number Administrator, for the above, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AMSAT net. Let's see, ARIS completes a successful FRAM-to-HAM simulation event using the ISS radio. The FRAM-to-HAM ISS simulation event was a success, bringing together amateur radio enthusiasts and educators from around the world. Over 5 days, participants engaged in simulated transmissions from the ISS service module radio to mirror real-world conditions aboard a Dragon spacecraft, which will be used for the upcoming FRAM-2 mission. This provided valuable practice for the FRAM-to-HAM competition. The event was organized and run by ARIS, the amateur radio on the ISS. The ham radio community followed the request to withhold image postings until the official reveal date of February the 20th. By the end of the event, 1,975 images had been submitted, with nearly half coming from students and educators, highlighting the educational impact of the initiative.
BL-123.
The FRAM-2 mission will be the first human space flight in polar orbit, flying over the North and South Poles. Named after the polar exploration ship FRAM, the mission aims to highlight exploration, curiosity, and technological progress. A SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket will launch 4 astronauts from Europe and Australia into orbit for 3 to 5 days, with a targeted launch in spring of 2025. The crew consists of Mission Commander Cheng Wang of Malta, Vehicle Commander Janike Mikkelsen, Pilot Rebea Rage of Germany, and Mission Specialist Eric Phillips of Australia. part of the mission, Ray Bay Rogue, LB9NJ/KD3AID, will operate the onboard amateur radio system, transmitting SSTV images for a high school and university student competition. These images will also be available to the general public. The Fram to Ham competition is an experimental radio challenge open to high school and university students where teams receive SSTV images of three geographical locations transmitted via the onboard ham radio. However, these images will be fragmented and scrambled, requiring participants to piece them together and determine their significance in polar history. While anyone can receive the images, forming an international team may help solve the puzzle. Participants must correctly identify at least two of the three locations to qualify for prizes, which include QSL cards with space-flown Fram 2 mission stickers. The competition is open to members of educational institutions between the ages of 16 to 25 years from eligible countries, including Europe, CEPT, the U.S., Canada, and Australia. The ARIS International team has supported the event by organizing the Fram to Ham ISS simulation to help participants develop skills in acquiring images for the competition. For more information, you can visit the Fram to Ham website, and that's FRAM2HAM.com, and the ARIS website, which of course is ARISS.org. And we want to thank ARIS and Fram to Ham for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y with the Houston AmSatNet. We're just a couple minutes here past the bottom of the hour, so we're going to check a quick standby, see if we have any more local check-ins.
JD5PQJ.
All right, very good. We got Herbert, KD5PQJ, and he's over there in West Houston. We got anybody else aboard? All right, let's see. We've got Blue Ghost and Resilience, private landers on course for lunar touchdowns. Firefly Aerospace's Blue Ghost lunar lander has successfully lowered its orbit, bringing it closer to the moon's surface as it prepares for a historic landing attempt. The spacecraft, part of Firefly's Ghost Riders in the Sky mission, completed a 3-minute, 18-second engine burn that reduced its altitude to 75 miles or 120 kilometers above the lunar surface. This maneuver marks a critical phase of the mission as the lander remains in this orbit until its descent begins in less than 2 weeks. In a recent update on X, Firefly Aerospace shared a video showcasing Blue Ghost's new perspective of the lunar surface. The company also warned of intermittent communication blackouts as the lander orbits around the moon's far side. While on the near side, mission teams are receiving data and refining plans for additional engine burns that will bring Blue Ghost even closer to its intended landing site. The mission is on track for touchdown on March the 2nd. Blue Ghost was launched last month aboard a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket from NASA's Kennedy Space Center in Florida. It is part of NASA's Commercial Lunar Payload Services, or the CLPS program, which contracts private companies to deliver scientific instruments and technology demonstrations to the moon. The lander is carrying 10 NASA payloads designed to study the lunar environment and aid future Artemis program missions. Sharing its launch aboard the Falcon 9 was another lunar lander, Japan-based iSpace's Resilience. This marks iSpace's second attempt at a moon landing after its first mission ended in failure. Resilience is carrying a micro rover named Tenacious and follows a different trajectory than Blue Ghost, taking a longer, more energy-efficient route. Unlike Blue Ghost, which will attempt a landing within weeks, Resilience's descent is planned for late May or early June. Resilience recently performed a lunar flyby on February the 14th, passing within 5,220 miles or 8,400 kilometers of the moon's surface. The maneuver provided a gravity assist that adjusted its trajectory for a smoother arrival into lunar orbit in early May. The lander captured and transmitted a striking image of the lunar surface from 8,972 miles or 14,439 kilometers away, marking a milestone for Japan's private space industry. If successful, Blue Ghost will become the second private spacecraft to land on the moon. The lander is set to operate for one full lunar day, equivalent to about 2 weeks, before losing power as the sun sets. During that time, its NASA payloads will conduct experiments, collect samples, and test new technology. These efforts will contribute to ongoing lunar exploration and preparations for the Artemis program's future crewed missions to the moon. And we want to thank Josh Dinner and Mike Wall from space.com. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y with the Houston AMSAT Net. The 2025 AMSAT President's Club coins have just arrived. You can celebrate the 40th anniversary of amateur radio on human spaceflight. And to help support Golf and Fox Plus, you can join the AMSAT President's Club today by going over to www.amsat.org/join-v-amsat-presidents-club. All right, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT Net. The space race below, how satellites are pushing the limits in VLEO. Oh, you know, we got LEO, which is low Earth orbit. Now we got VLEO, which is very low Earth orbit. The race to explore the lowest reaches of space is gaining momentum as companies work to deploy satellites in very low Earth orbit. This untapped region, situated just above Earth's atmosphere, presents both challenges and unprecedented opportunities. While traditional satellites operate at altitudes ranging from hundreds to thousands of miles above Earth, these new sky skimmers will navigate much lower, skimming the upper reaches of the atmosphere. The potential advantages of VLEO satellites include enhanced Earth observation, improved communications, and the ability to remain operational in orbit indefinitely through advanced propulsion technologies.
BL-123.
Satellites in very low Earth orbit face a difficult balancing act. Unlike their higher altitude counterparts, these spacecraft must contend with significant atmospheric drag, which constantly threatens to pull them back to Earth. Traditional satellites rely on their horizon momentum to stay in orbit, but in very low Earth orbit, this is not enough. To remain aloft, engineers are exploring air-breathing electric propulsion, or ABEP, systems, which harvest atmospheric molecules and convert them into thrust. If successful, these technologies could allow satellites to sustain themselves indefinitely without the need for large fuel reserves. Not surprising, several companies and institutions are actively pursuing this technology. The European Space Agency's Gravity Field and Steady State Ocean Circulation Explorer, or the GOCE satellite, was an early attempt to operate in very low Earth orbit using ion propulsion to counteract drag. More recently, startups such as Krios Space and Stellar Advanced Concepts have been developing ABEP prototypes with planned test missions in the coming years. Governments are also getting involved, with the U.S. Department of Defense investing millions in research programs such as Otter, which aims to create operational very low Earth orbit satellites. Different companies are taking varied approaches to overcoming the challenges of very low Earth orbit. Redwire, a Florida-based aerospace company, is working on a modular satellite concept called SabreSat, designed to minimize drag and potentially operate for up to 7 years in VLEO. The company's European division is also developing spacecraft Phantom under the European Space Agency's SkimSat program. While Phantom will not use air-breathing propulsion, it will incorporate specialized materials and an aerodynamic design to enhance longevity in low orbit. The benefits of VLEO satellites extend beyond military and scientific applications. Their close proximity to Earth enables higher resolution imaging, which could be useful for agriculture, disaster monitoring, and environmental studies. Additionally, communication networks such as satellite-based internet services could see a significant boost from VLEO technology. Lower altitude satellites could provide faster connections and direct-to-device communication capabilities, potentially revolutionizing global internet access. Despite the promise of VLEO, challenges remain. The region is highly dynamic, with atmospheric conditions influenced by solar activity, which can cause unexpected changes in drag forces. Additionally, while VLEO naturally clears debris by pulling defunct satellites back to Earth, high-energy collisions can still send fragments into higher orbits, creating long-term space debris hazards. As the race to dominate VLEO accelerates, companies and governments must address while capitalizing on the immense potential of this new frontier in space technology. And we want to thank Jonathan of BBC for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, with the Houston AmSat Net. Okay, beyond L1, solar sails aim to enhance space weather alerts. Scientists are developing solar sail satellites as a potential early warning system for geomagnetic storms, which can disrupt technological systems on Earth. These sails, which harness sunlight for propulsion, could enhance space travel and improve the forecasting for space weather events. Solar sailing operates similarly to traditional sailing, except it uses photons from the sun instead of wind. A lot of us have experienced sailing. It's exactly like that, said Irfan Azim, division chief at NOAA's Office of Space Weather Observations. Instead of using air, we're using the light emitted by the sun to propel our satellites. Unlike traditional propulsion systems, solar sails offer a cost-effective means of maneuvering satellites without fuel. This is a very novel technology, Azim added. We have traditionally relied on propulsion to take satellites from one place to another, and solar sails are providing a new, efficient way to travel in space. NOAA satellites play a vital role in space weather monitoring, gather data that helps issue warnings for potentially disruptive solar flares. Currently, satellites like NASA's Advanced Composition Explorer and NOAA's Deep Space Climate Observatory track the solar wind, a stream of charged particles from the sun that can interact with Earth's magnetic field. Although current monitoring provides some advanced notice of geomagnetic storms, scientists aim to improve lead times by positioning satellites closer to the sun through NOAA's Space Weather Next program. One major advantage of solar sails is their ability to travel beyond the Lagrange 1 point, or the L1, location about 932,000 miles, or 1.5 million kilometers, from Earth, where satellites currently observe the sun. L1 provides a semi-stable orbit for persistent sun monitoring, Azim explained, but if you want to go further, you need chemical rockets. Solar sails offer a cost-effective alternative for moving upstream. By positioning satellites further ahead in the solar wind, NOAA estimates they could improve geomagnetic storm lead times by 50%. At the American Meteorological Society's annual meeting, NOAA provided updates on the Solar Cruiser project, a collaboration with NASA. The full-scale solar sail, set to span 17,793 square feet, or 1,653 square meters, is under construction. The spacecraft will include four sails, each built separately, with completion expected by February 2026. NOAA aims to secure a rideshare launch by 2029. I'm most excited about the complexity of integrating different disciplines, Azim said. Advances in material science and other fields are helping us push space weather monitoring to the next level. And we want to thank Meredith Gorofalo at space.com for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSat Net. We've got something new coming for 2025, and that's the SDR Gen 2, a versatile GNU radio-based transverter. All right, this little box here is looking at providing 144 megahertz through 6 gigahertz in continuous coverage. Direct VHF, UHF, 900 megahertz, L-band, S-band, and C-band operations. Up conversion to 5 and dime capability. All mode, CW, SSB, FT8, narrowband FM, single side SSTV, ATV, etc. Going to do it all. Minimum downlink data rate of 1 MSPS. And this is built to fly on Flux plus the golf missions. And this comes from AMSAT engineers keeping amateur radio in space. It's ASCENT, the Advanced Satellite Communication and Exploration of New Technology.
BL-123.
All right, we'll be following the AMSAT news service and the bulletins for more information on that in the future. All right, we've got some changes to the AMSAT MA TLE distribution for February 21st, 2025. No, it says this week there are no additions or deletions to the AMSAT TLE distribution, but two-line elements or TLEs often referred to as Keplerian elements or KEPs in the amateur community are the inputs to the SGP-4 standard mathematical model of spacecraft orbits used by most amateur tracking programs. You can do a weekly update as completely adequate for most amateur satellites. TLE bulletin files are updated daily. In the first hour of the UTC day, new bulletin files will be posted immediately after reliable elements become available for new amateur satellites. You can find more info over at amsat.org/Keplerian-elements-resources. Okay, we've got a notice. In an effort to minimize confusion between sources of two-line element sets, AMSAT is adopting the convention of listing the USSF/NORAD catalog, satellite catalog name first, followed by any secondary name or names in parentheses, which would be the names that we give the satellites. For example, Poem 4, and then in parentheses, BGS-AR Pitt. And it was added recently where Poem 4 is the name that appears in the U.S. Space Force Satellite Catalog, and BGS-AR Pitt is the name best known within the amateur satellite community. You can expect name changes for affected satellites in the coming weeks as this change is fully implemented. So we want to thank AMSAT Orbital Elements page for that information. All right, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT Net. Amateurs and others around the world may listen in on contacts between amateurs operating in schools and allowing students to interact with astronauts and cosmonauts at the International Space Station. And the downlink frequency on which to listen to all the conversations, it's on 145.800 megahertz worldwide. Okay, we've got some recently completed contacts. The Woodward Mill Elementary School in Lawrenceville, Georgia, had a contact direct via K4RGK. The ISS call sign was NA1SF. They spoke with scheduled crew member John Petit, KD5MBT. The ARIS mentor was K4RGK. The contact was Thursday, 2-20-2025 at 16:37:28 UTC. I want to say congratulations to the Woodward Mill Elementary School students. Then we have the Royal Moroccan Air Academy in Marrakesh, Morocco, had a contact direct via CN8ERA with ISS call sign OR4ISS. They got talk to crew member Don Petit, KD5MDT. The ARIS mentor was IN3GHZ. The contact was Friday, 2-21-2025 at 11:12:20 UTC. Congratulations to the Royal Moroccan Air Academy students on their contacting the ISS. All right, many times a school may make a last-minute decision to do a live stream or run into a last-minute glitch requiring a change of the URL, but but we at ARIS may not get the URL in time for publication. So you can always check live.aris.org to see if the school is live streaming. The crossband repeater on the International Space Station continues to be active. It's on 145.990 MHz up with a peel tone of 67. And then you listen on the downlink, it's on 437.800 MHz. And if any crew member is so inclined, all they have to do is pick up the mic, raise the volume up, and they can talk on the crossband repeater. So give a listen, you just never know. And the packet system is also active. It's on 145.825 MHz up and down. And as always, if there's an EVA, a docking, or an undocking, the ARIS radios are turned off as part of the safety protocol. Also, all times are approximate. It's recommended you do your own orbital prediction of the times or start listening about 10 minutes before the times we have listed for contacts coming up. Of course, there weren't any this week. The latest information on the operation mode for the ISS can be found. That's over at www.aris.org/current-status-of-iss-stations.html. And the latest list of frequencies in use can be found at www.aris.org/contact-v-iss.html. And we want to thank Charlie Safana, AJ9N, one of the ARIS operation team mentors, for that information. Okay, this is Marty WV5Y with the Houston AMSAT Net. Looks like we've got one rover out there doing some upcoming satellite operations. We've got J68HZ. The operator is WA4PGM. They're going to be active from 226 to 304 from Grid Square FK93. So watch for those guys to make contacts. Alright, a growing number of satellite rovers are currently engaged in sharing their grid square activations on the website hams.at. By visiting the website, you gain easy access to comprehensive information about the operators responsible for activating specific grid squares. Additionally, you have the ability to assess the match score between yourself and a particular rover for a given path, while also being able to identify the upcoming satellite passes that are accessible from your location. And we want to thank Ian Parsons, K5ZM, AMSAT Rover Page Manager, for that information. Okay, we do have some action from the AMSAT ambassadors. We've got couple listed things here. We've got the Midwinter Madness Hamfest, March 22nd, 2025 at the Buffalo Center, 1306 County Road, 134, Buffalo, Minnesota, 55313. The website is k0ltc.org/midwinter/madness. And you should see K0JM, AD0HJ, and KE0PBR there. Of course, weekend after this coming weekend, we've got the Greater Houston Ham Fest on March 7th and March 8th, and that's out at the Fort Bend County Fairgrounds here in Houston, and I think they start up at noon on Friday, and go to about 8 p.m., and then on Saturday, I start bright and early, around 8 a.m., and then go to in the afternoon when everybody can't lift any more stuff to drag home. Okay, we've also got the Southeastern VHF Conference 2025, April 4th through the 5th, 2025, at the Quality Inn, Exit 4, 3095 Wilma Rudolph Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. And you can go to svhfs.org, /WP/2025-conference. And you should see W4FCL there, Bo Lowry, Director of AMSAT Ambassador Program, helping to put on some AMSAT stuff. All right, well, we appreciate the efforts from Mitch Ehrenstorf, AD0HJ. That's this week's ANS editor. Of course, if you have any comments, you can make them to mahrenstorff@amsat.org. And you can join AMSAT today by going to launch.amsat.org. And in addition to regular membership, AMSAT offers membership to societies, a recognized group club. Primary and secondary students are eligible for membership at one-half the standard yearly rate, and post-secondary school students enrolled in at least half-time status shall be eligible for the student rate for a maximum of 6 post-secondary years in the status. And memberships are available for annual and lifetime terms. You can contact info@amsat.org for additional membership information. 7-3, and remember to help keep amateur radio in space. And we appreciate that coming from this week's ANS editor, Mitch Ehrenstorf, AD0HJ. And we hope everybody enjoyed this week's version of the Houston AMSAT Net. Look forward to being on the new repeaters there on the 442.5 and the 146.7 here in the future. Thanks to Joe. And so thanks to Andy, W5ACM, Bruce, KK5DO, myself, Marty, WV5Y. We say keep making lots of satellite contacts, playing with those radios, and we look forward to catching everybody next week. So we want to say 7-3 for this week from the Houston AMSAT Net.
DL-123.